good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Happy to have you, and I want to thank Polka Burgess for that lead-in and from Hawaiian Potpourri. A pretty good show and very informative. I also today have a guest, Miss Kim Kalama, who is a citizen that lives out in Waimanalo, and we'll be just tossing around a few issues that are impacting the Waimanalo area and some concerns that go unaddressed or ignored by various agencies or things that need to be fixed. We also anticipate having a city employee to call in and share a little story with us about his experience with wastewater treatment plant that he works at and some of the hardships that he's experiencing as a whistleblower. And so basically, I guess I'll title this show, if it was appropriate, call it Big Brothers Giving Big Business a Big Break. And I want to really talk quite a bit about this. And especially in the recent news, we saw out at Hakima Road, we saw a great effort by our authorities, law enforcement, U.S. Attorney, EPA, DOH, DLNR, or whomever. And they brought in the big guns, so to speak, or literally did bring in big guns. They also brought in the dog catcher. Now, that is good, but it stirred a little emotions with me because it appears that these little people out there, and I'm all for stopping and abating contaminants going into the groundwater, pollution and illegal activity. I think if you're a criminal, you should pay dearly, especially when you're harming us all through contaminating groundwater, the air, or what have you. So anyway, we'll be touching on some of those things and sharing through Ms. Kalama and some of the issues where we've documented where Big Brother allows big business to contaminate in a worse form and in a worse fashion than you could imagine these people out in Hakima Road doing. And by the way, Hakima Road, that property, we did a little research and I'd had some information on it earlier. Historically, that property has been a problem. As in 1980, there were documentation reflecting extended number of cars or high number of cars being stockpiled there and stored. 2001, there were tires, tractor-trailer load of tires and other activities and oil and what have you being buried. Now, again, I don't want anybody to go away thinking that I'm against prosecuting anyone. What I'm raising is they seem to use their discretion in prosecuting big business. And I think I'm qualified in raising that issue and saying that I have, on numerous occasions, more than 10 occasions, gone to Big Brother to finger, so to speak, or inform them about big business. And they've basically done absolutely nothing, or would it simply ignore my complaints and go behind closed doors and work with big business and keeping us uninformed? So anyway, Kim, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on in Waimanalo.
Aloha, Carol. Thank you for the opportunity letting me speak here this morning, and thank you for all the listeners out there. Some of the concerns we have in Waimanalo, which go statewide, of course, yes, we'll get into the sewage treatment plants and the effluents going into the ocean. Basically, right now, as far as what's been on the news, is the farmers not having enough water. Mm-hmm. Parts of the problem, or should I say a big problem, is man-made, and that is because of the diversion of our water system being, you know, actually piped and taken away from the sources of, well, we no longer have the flumes. We've got our reservoir that has been breached because of, a proclamation, an emergency proclamation at a time which there was no studies really done on the breaching of this reservoir, which has been a big water source to our community. Now we don't have it. My concern is what is going to happen in the future. you know, department heads, they seem to just jump to conclusions rather than going out to the communities and asking them what they really want. So basically, I'm concerned that, yeah, we do have a lack of water. By it being diverted in other places as well as being channelized off the land as fast as possible, which is also contributing to a problem, not just the recharging of our groundwater, which, you know, we live on an island. We definitely need to recharge our groundwater, but we're losing our water sources here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not thinking the big picture. What's going to happen with all the sediment from this reservoir now once it leaves the area where it was made to be put as like a retention, a storage basin to the sediments from the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So now, on our next big flood, you know, our bay may turn out, which is one of the longest and biggest, you know, white sand beaches in the state, which mm-hmm. may not no longer be one of our only white sand beaches. It may end up looking like Kaneohe Bay because of all the source, you know, as far as the amount of homes being built, the infrastructures mm-hmm. that haven't been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the sediment there is going to now, we only have one major waterway, and that is, they call it Wamanalo Stream,
right.
Which Kailua Reservoir was the reservoir they breached that was built on the stream to impound the water sources from the mountains
mm-hmm.
so that it had a holding area for the sediment. Now that is wide open. So
right.
I'm concerned that all this soil sediment is going to end up in our bay, smothering our reefs, killing our fish, turning our white sand beaches brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
now there is an algal bloom out there in Waimanalo Bay occasionally, right?
Yes, and we do suspect our wastewater treatment plant as being one of the major contributors to this algae bloom.
Okay.
But our wastewater treatment plant is a state-owned plant. It is an injection well, and
mm-hmm.
if a lot of people don't know what an injection well is, an injection well is a hole deeper than it is wider.
Mm-hmm.
And so our sewage treatment goes into this well,
mm-hmm.
and well, that's just one. That is just one injection well. In Waimanalo alone, I'll bring up Bellows. Bellows is a military Air Force station, and they have a total of 64 injection wells. Majority of their injection wells are within feet from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Another place with injection wells is Sea Life Park and Oceanic Institute.
Okay.
In 1999, they had a total 19 documented injection wells there. In 2003, our governor okayed the building of 4 more injection wells because the community pushed an outfall that Oceanic Institute had of their aquatic research station, right, of their, you know, wastewater effluent into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So they did introduce a lot of nitrates, things that are pollution, you know, harmful
right.
for our environment.
Right.
You know, that's a start.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back on that shortly. I have a caller now that, is it Kenny Merzberg?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
How can we help you today?
Yes, I just wanted to call in the show and talk about the my situation, that I have been experiencing. I work for the city and county
okay.
Environment Services.
You work for the city and county, right?
Yes.
At the wastewater treatment plant?
Yes.
What specific plant do you work at?
The Kailua Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we're sitting here talking as I spoke with. This is something very interesting we want to share with the public. So share us your experience and what you're going through right now.
Yeah, well, at this time, I'm out on administrative leave pending investigations.
Okay.
And in 2005, I had to call HIOSH to file a complaint on the city managers because of vehicles that were unsafe to be driven on the highways.
Okay.
And HIOSH had given back authority to my department, Environmental Services, to do the investigation.
Wait, now, let me try and translate this because I'm a little familiar with it. So those people out there, not that you're not speaking clearly, but let me clear it up a little bit. In other words, you, the complainant, a citizen, an employee who's cognizant of rules and regulations and want to do the right thing, you report city vehicles being operated unsafe on the road, and you report this to HIOSH, and HIOSH in turn should have done their own investigation, and you're saying that HIOSH then went back to your supervisors and the city and allowed the city to investigate themselves?
Yes.
Okay. Hard to believe, but go ahead. Not hard to believe. Out there, I'm familiar with many of these instances where they take care of one another. Big brother takes care of baby brother in this case.
Yes, and we've had numerous incidents that had occurred at the facility. Illegal pyramid gambling.
Mm-hmm.
racial slurs. A supervisor was openly in front of about 20 witnesses and called this one individual, you black Okoli.
Mm-hmm.
I own you. You just get right here now, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And these incidents were reported to our department. Once again, they failed to do anything about it.
Right. Well, folks, again, now, I'm not trying to agitate this gentleman on the phone, but I am actually aware of a couple of instances currently occurring where there is one individual, African-American or black, who has actually been called names at another facility and has actually taken out a restraining order on the supervisor. The supervisor, in turn, is now has a restraining order and is still being allowed to work. Not on administrative leave, but allowed to work and manage the bulky item pickup. So it is plausible what this gentleman is saying, and I maybe it's unrelated in situation specifically, but it speaks to the administrations under the Hanneman administration and how matters are being handled. So go ahead, and if you have other...
Yes, and there has been reports of managers physically abusing personnel, blue-collar workers there, and there were nothing happened to this manager. Was given a promotion after that.
I see.
And this is the manager that were indicted by the Owowo grand jury for theft.
Mm-hmm. And he was indicted. And what is the status now in that particular case, you know?
Yeah, his status right now is he has been given a higher pay. They had given him a higher paying salary and a higher title. But the blue collar workers, if you call in and file a complaint, they put you out on administrative leave, not the supervisors.
I see. I see. Well, you know, I'd like to have you come in, and I'd like to have a greater discussion of this and go in greater details and share with the public out there. This may not seem related to what we're talking about, but if I get the opportunity, it will be easy. When we talk about algal blooms out in the ocean, we're talking about city government, state government, federal government not doing its job in regulatory. But if we have this climate where individuals such as this gentleman who's on the phone now is having, what is really being done right? You have anything else, Kenny?
Not at this time, but maybe at another time.
Please do, and I will. You can leave your contact information. I think I have an old number for you, but please feel free to call me, and I'd like to sit and arrange something with you and bring you back.
Okay, that's fine.
And thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Well, the problem here is, and I don't want to sound scatterbrained and, you know, take the shotgun approach and just have sit here and talk about it, but I can clearly connect the dots. We have in solid waste management, we have situations under this current administration, the Hanneman administration. I personally, who have gone out and investigated a number of environmental concerns and violations, in speaking to about city employees, for example, we exposed a story 2 years ago or so where a city worker, supervisor, was cutting the air conditioners, washers and dryers, collecting the aluminum and copper, and venting the gas, the refrigerant gas, into the atmosphere. Now, these gases are hazardous and harmful to the ozone. To date, in my understanding, that this employee is still on administrative leave. Mayor Hanneman refuses to act. But just a little other little nugget. I myself, I have recovered a letter that I obtained from the city and county of Honolulu, where the mayor, who speaks openly and shows up on TV shows and what have you and singing us songs, actually, Eric Takamura, the head of his environmental department, actually wrote a letter requesting the mayor to sign it and ban me from any city facilities. That meant any city facilities, having violated no laws, having only to exercise my rights as a citizen and as a person who's concerned with the environment. So you can see the tactics that they resort to. But anyway, I'm going to take a little break here and gather some thoughts, and we'll bring back Kim Kalama, and we'll take up this conversation.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. That's why you want to know about the EPA's smart driving tips. Tips that could give you more miles per gallon of gas and reduce air pollution. Like making sure your tires are properly inflated and replacing your air filter regularly. Where possible, accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. And did you know that for every 5 miles you go over 65 miles per hour, you're spending about 20 cents more per gallon of gas? Also, if you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more tips and to compare cleaner, more efficient vehicles, visit www.epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Seabass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the Northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Let you want it, Jimmy, stop it.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI, 1080 AM. I have a guest here this morning, Ms. Kim Kalama from Waimanalo. Again, Kim, thank you for coming by. And let's pick up from where you left off on the alga blooms, the injection wells, and on and on and on.
Okay, the other problems that we have out in Waimanalo, besides the algae blooms, which are a big problem, I'd have to say is the dumping, military dumping, that the community had to actually go out and get a congresswoman involved to push the efforts to have this place cleaned, which is right out at Bellows, right on the beach. That is a public area that this dump site sits on. It's within feet from the ocean. And from what I understand, there's tons of debris there that they're going to now go in and clean up. But the military is not going to do it.
Right. Now, you mean the Congresswoman Maisie Hirano came in here recently, right?
Yes.
Because if this is the LF landfill that was there some years now.
Yes, it's called the Pure Dump Landfill.
Oh, this is the same landfill that we successfully got them to agree to clean up, but all along the state and the EPA and the federal government stood by. Is that the same landfill?
It's the same landfill.
Okay, so
that it didn't fall within the CERCLA.
Yeah.
So anyway, the community did push
for years.
Pushed for years to have this right. This area cleared and cleaned.
So what you're saying is that for years the community struggled. There was protest, am I correct?
Very much.
And
yes.
The community got up and held signs and flags and protests and meetings and held signs and flags and
press conferences.
And
yeah.
The state health department did what?
They stood back.
What did the EPA do?
They didn't get involved.
Didn't get involved.
They didn't get involved.
What did the U.S. Attorney's Office do?
Nobody got involved, really. It basically left it up to us to actually be the whistleblowers.
Right.
Get out there and make a difference.
So now, would you like to have had, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'll ask it.
Yeah.
Would you like to have had a dog and pony show as a big press conference and have the Humane Society and the EPA and the FDA and the DEA there with big guns and all, telling the federal government, the military, to clean up their mess?
Oh, that would be great if they would do that.
But you didn't get that.
No, we're not going to get that. Yet.
And so all you have right now is a congresswoman who has worked
She worked effortlessly to get funds allocated to clean this mess, which is not for us to clean. It should have been a military effort to clean. Right.
And there should have been fines or something.
There
or
should have been more accountability to this, you know, this deposit of debris.
Now, would you say that this falls in the category of Big Brother allowing
definitely,
big business?
Definitely this falls into that category.
Give them big favors, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to be careful and not advocate or put words in your mouth, but again,
that's hard to do, Carol.
But what else you got? You talked about that sewage outflow from the Oceanic Institute.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It is a research facility which they do, well, like I said, they've added on 4 more injection wells to 19 that is already there on the site, which that goes back for years, as that is a Hawaiian Homes allocated area, which the Hawaiian Homes gave up for another Hawaiian Home parcel.
I see.
And, you know, because of, as far as they said, it's documented that that area was dangerous for the people to actually live there. But it's okay for, you know, for our tourists to come and visit and enjoy themselves there. So,
yeah. I remember being out there with you on many occasions and
testing water.
Testing the water and having some of the species, that some introduced species were just really thriving in that little outfall.
Yes, most of the species that were in that, it was a little stream that everybody thought was, you know, just a natural stream, but...
And this went on for years
this
now, right?
This went on for years.
Maybe 10, 15 years. Yeah. Everyone thought it was streams and people allowing
That's
their
right.
kids playing.
They're all kids, grandmas, grandpas, everybody used to bring their kids down there and their grandkids and enjoy this little stream, thinking that it was a fresh, you know, clean stream. Well, no, that's not what it was. It was discharged from the research station, which the only kind of, or the majority of the creatures growing there only grow in sewage plant areas. So.
Because of high in nitrogen, and
yes.
food waste from, and also antibiotics and all the other chemicals used.
Hormones, you name it. You know, they were just being discharged right through there. So what other kind of, you know, as a kid growing up, not knowing these things, I used to play in there.
Right.
So, yeah, I was very disturbed to find out that this, we're actually playing in sewage.
Right. Well, this was Big Brother again, standing back, and in this instance, I called foul complaints. Went on for a year. They refused to come, and when they finally came, they came out, and I tried to get them to put up a sign advising the people that this was not a natural stream, and it was not runoff from the mountains.
Yes.
It was only sewage water. And the health department informed me, and the EPA flat out ignored me upon many calls to say that they don't want to put a sign up because
they didn't
it
want
would,
that kind of
image for the tourists.
Yes.
Shame on them. But again, Big Brother allowing big business to get a big break. Right?
Right.
So.
Right. So the thing is, you know, the water there is classified as AA, pristine waters. There's laws that protect our pristine waters from being polluted by these kinds of man-made efforts. And that's what's, you know, that's what really kind of gets me, is because here's a facility, state-run as well, because you got HPU that has hooked up along with the Oceanic Institute. You know, these people, they're smart people. They should know the laws. And our government should know that we put these laws in place for us to manage. Well, there is no enforcement. I think if there was an enforcement, that wouldn't be happening.
Right.
But it's happening, and it's been happening. Now that we don't see it flowing over the land, they do another route. Let's go under.
And so you're saying the injection well, so... The people out there in the listening audience, to get a visual of this, there's this hole. You take your sewage and you stick a hose down into the hole, and you just pump the sewage down, and you put a little chemicals in it to maybe treat.
Right.
But depending on the...
Where's the percolation going?
The water's going down,
yes.
And it's going to be percolating, and depending on the strata or the type of rock, so it will percolate through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
travel through, right?
That's right.
And then find its way back into the ocean.
Right.
Right?
We did ask for them to do an ink Mm-hmm. You know, just let's find a dye. We could throw a dye in there to see if it does leach. If it doesn't, right. Well, then I wouldn't have a problem. But they rejected it.
But see, you know, Big Brother won't do that. You know, there's no real media attention to that. And you see the governor or whomever standing up saying, we have conducted a dye test. That wouldn't bring any votes. She couldn't claim when running for Congress. Or the mayor couldn't claim for running for governor or running for mayor again. Wouldn't bring many votes, right? But probably taking guys that rightfully need to be prosecuted if they're violating.
Right.
Post their pictures on TV and newspapers. You could probably get a little more votes that way, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, but yeah. I think, I say probably, but I would believe that it would because that's the equation. They chose to go that route. But again, you know, some of the problems, Kim, is that it really doesn't take much effort because I know factually you and many others in that community out there, like in Waianae, on the Isle of Molokai, Maui County, Big Island, people are calling, people are complaining, and yet the Department of Health, the EPA, nowhere to be found.
Right. Well, you know, Carol, people like you and I, and you know, who really care, and there's a lot of other people out there, but we are outnumbered. We are very much outnumbered by, you know, coming across to get our point out there. And we need stations like this. We need people like you to be able to have people from the communities come out and tell people exactly what's going on. We don't have an agenda here. We're not going to lose our jobs, mm-hmm. but we do get threatened. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. You know, there is threats because once we go out there speaking our mind, you know, they're going to come back to us looking for mm-hmm. other avenues. Oh, mm-hmm. well, let's go find what we can do to stop this person from speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't work anymore. People have now realized that, you know, life is short and we do need to get out there. We do need to make a difference because it's our future. It's our children's future. It's their children's future.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot sit back and just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let and make those people responsible because most of our problems, it all comes down to accountability. You know, and we need to make these people accountable.
And we do that by, when you say these people, our regulatory bodies, right?
Our department heads who are mm-hmm. fast speaking, you know, mm-hmm. for the quick fixes out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're just one of many. It's who is their boss
right.
making the decision because they can't just make it on their own. Somebody's mm-hmm. got to let them, somebody's got to give them the authority to do it.
Yeah, well, I would take this opportunity to personally invite the governor. Governor Lingle, Mayor Hanneman, to come and sit down and talk with me and just talk straight.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask the real questions,
mm-hmm.
You know, and ask, why are these agencies or these agency heads deciding so quickly that they won't prosecute, they won't take an action? Or
right.
you take, for example, the Waimanalo Gulch landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is a perfect example, Kim, of Big Brother allowing big business to get the biggest break. We had concerns for fires. We have water concerns, pollution. We have dust control. We have situations where employees of the waste management company, the allegations were that they were taking favors or monies from truck drivers or haulers to dump contaminated
toxic
soils
waste, yes.
and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have contacted and have a copy of a check where one of the trucking companies provided payment in the form of buying sushi and platters for a church that one of the workers that managed the landfill was a pastor of that church. Instead of being open with the public, the governor
mm-hmm.
and the attorney general, the state attorney general, permitted the Department of Health to engage in behind-the-door discussion with waste management in the city and county of Honolulu. No prosecution. It was so bad and egregious that on one occasion the waste management made allegations that a state worker, the engineer for that area, was taking stipends or bribes illegally. Now, and they began to investigate and ostracize that worker. the state health department.
Right.
Took him out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
The landfill still operates now. They exceeded heights limits and on. But the bigger problem was, where was the prosecution and investigation of waste management? You can't come to any government agency and say, my workers gave your worker bribes.
Right.
So there should be two sides to this effort in prosecuting, right?
Right, there should be.
So for a minute here, I'm going to take one little break, and
yep.
I want to find something and get a question out to. But some of this information, or some of these stories that we've talked about, or talking about, you can find them. We have actually written in the Hawaii Fishing News. And if you'd like to go there, you can go to fishnews.com. Or pick up the monthly issue in any of your stores, Long's or most of the stores, or you really should take subscription. It's a very good paper, and we do carry a number of stories in there over time. So we're going to take a break right now, and we'll get right back with you.
Okay. Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for seven bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Seabass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit!
Here with me is Miss Kim Kalama, a person that lives out, a lady that lives out in Waimanalo. Again, Kim, thank you. I wanted to just share with you, Kim, and the listeners out there, I'm not going to go in too much details, but I mean, over the years, I'm a staunch advocate for protecting the environment because it is our responsibility, the little man, the big man, whomever, and especially the regulatory bodies. They have an oath, they get paid handsomely to enforce and regulate, and they should do it.
Right.
Right?
I agree.
But I'm just going to read off a list, and I'm actually going to put together a show, a full hour or more, to talk specifically about these. But let me just give you a rundown.
Don't have enough time, Carol.
City and County of Honolulu, for example, and again, this is consistent with the big brother is giving big business a big break. City and County of Honolulu buries 300 ton or more of white goods. No criminal prosecution of the top officials. One individual is prosecuted, per se, in a form, and then in turn, his record is cleared, and he gets to retire. No prosecution. They also buried contaminated and toxic materials that some had to be shipped off.
Right.
No prosecution. No press conference. EPA was there, but took no action. Cutting appliances and venting the gas, a city employee who I spoke earlier about, on administrative leave, the EPA refused and have ignored any of the complaints, and we even had individual workers who signed formal statements. EPA did not have a press conference, did not go to the U.S. attorney, didn't bring the DEA in, didn't bring the DOH in, didn't even bring the dog catcher in. City and County dumped more than 48 million gallons of sewage water. Now, I want to clarify, dumped is the word, underscoring that. It was dumped. This was a decision made by the Hanneman administration. It was dumped. It was not a spill. No prosecution. No press conference, no EPA. And then he then screams that he don't want to fix the Sand Island treatment plant, kicking and screaming. No prosecution. None of that. Something's wrong. The city and county of Honolulu dump sewage water in the Wahiwa Reservoir, as I speak to you right now. Treated sewage and sometimes untreated sewage is dumped into the Wahiwa Reservoir and allowed to go into the Dole Flume, Dole Foods Flume, and then some of it is dumped into the Kaukonahua Stream, which meanders out through the valley and ends up in Kaiaka State Park area and along Haleiwa.
Right.
No prosecution. And in fact, I filed a complaint with the EPA. They came over. No prosecution, no press conference, not even the dog catcher. Maui County. Maui Scrap Metal operated a scrap metal recycling facility, putting contaminants in the soil. He was allowed to operate with no permit. They had a hearing scheduled. He was still continued allowed to operate. Friends of members of the Department of Health, one of the Department of Health heads, said that I simply will not take action because I'm a close friend of the family.
Right. Here we go, the circle of friends.
Circle of friends, big brother,
yes.
Giving big business a big break.
Yes.
In that, contaminants are in the soil and still in the soil, and they allowed that that property to be sold. And it sits over the water table. No press conference, no prosecution, no EPA. The Molokai'i landfill operated 13 years. Now we're on the 14th or so. May not be as accurate, but a number of years. No permit. They allowed them to dump cars. This is a solid waste municipal landfill, just household, supposedly, dumping cars, trucks, oils, batteries, propane tanks, refrigerators, venting them, and it was a mess. They had to spend some millions of dollars to clean it up, and still it's not completely clean. No prosecution, and even when we ask Larry Lau to prosecute for dumping raw sewage into this landfill, no prosecution, no press conference, not even the dog show. We found in Waianae truckloads of materials being dumped, truckloads of material being dumped behind Pearl City High School. Hawaii Steam was involved. They didn't prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. They had a civil matter, went in, and I went to court. The Attorney General deputy didn't even speak to me on this. Now, I don't know, in my belief, that should have been prosecuted. Someone should have been facing jail term, because this company had problems in the past. Mercury dumped by the military at the Pearl Harbor pump station in Pearl Harbor some years back. Children found it, took it into the Pu'uwaimomi housing. No prosecution of the state officials or the federal officials.
Right.
Documentation were provided, photographs were where they actually had photographs and pictures of the mercury that was contained in the container, and they left it there. No prosecution, but they did in fact seize the property of the homeowners in that Pu'uwaimomi housing, shut it out, shut some of them out, and then proceeded to prosecute young children.
The innocent, yes.
AES, cogeneration plant, there in Campbell Industrial Park, at one time was dumping their ash from their process,
right,
in a online dump site,
mm-hmm,
unpermitted dump site at Spear out at Pacific Aggregate area. There's concerns with arsenic and everything. And believe it or not, no prosecution, right?
Right.
And then they made excuses saying we're doing a risk assessment to see if this has an impact on the human health. And this is right into the water table. Sears here company generates over 400 refrigerators. At one time, one of their vendors who was servicing the contract was cutting the refrigerators, venting the gas illegally, improperly handling the oil. No prosecution. The EPA refused to take action. Again, this is a big business getting a big break from Big Brother. Sea Life Park, we've touched on.
Yeah.
But again, Kim, this is what really happens. As you say, it's we owe it to the children of the future, but also we owe it to the adults out there and to the taxpayers. If we're going to prosecute someone, let's be equal in the application of the law. Because it is about protecting the environment, right?
That's right.
If it's
right.
a guy in a on a moped dumping a gallon of oil, he should be prosecuted. But if it's a company who's allowing several tractor-trailer loads full, yes. or if it's Sears who's cutting and venting gas or allowing their vendors to do this, they should be prosecuted. Where is the press conference? Where is the EPA? Where is the DEA? Where is all of those people? But we saw them last week.
We definitely saw them last week. But we know, Carol, we live on an island, and majority of the people forget that. You know, anywhere you dump, our groundwater is under us. We are limited. We are very limited on groundwater. The other thing is, you know, because of department heads, they get seniority in this position, and then they get put into another position which they have little or no experience at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have no reason to run that department, let alone, you know, but that's called the circle of friends here. You know, the other thing is what we just heard about, you know, Wamanalo, we have a lot of problems. We are pretty much guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
We got fruit fly facility, which houses toxic waste, cesium-137, which is not allowed in California, the U.S.
Wow.
California,
mm-hmm.
but it's allowed here. Are we not part of the U.S.? You know, that's my concern is, you know, we are part of the U.S., I think.
And this is situated right there.
This is situated right here in Wamanalo, you know, and as I said, Wamanalo is done by injection well. So this facility, when it gets cleared and cleaned out, everything goes into a pipe directly to our injection well. And the cesium-137 is water soluble, you know. So you know, people don't understand. You know, we've been put in a position where we've got to fight for our rights.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't know about them, which they pull mm-hmm. the wool over our eyes,
mm-hmm.
and most times, you know, they give us these documents. You can't read it. You either have to be a biologist, somebody that can read this, or a lawyer. They have their own. Agenda here, but anyway, invasive species,
mm-hmm.
the change of environment, you know, it goes on and on. Because they did the breaching of the reservoir in Wamanalo, we now see a different kind of environment. We've lost the dissipation from that reservoir, the
mm-hmm.
water, which
mm-hmm.
used to keep our grounds, you know, solid together, you know, everything green. We're not, Wamanalo is no longer as green as it used to be. It has changed quite
mm-hmm.
drastically.
Mm-hmm.
We do now have plant species growing there that never grew there before because now that we have a lack of water, we've got desert-like plants growing, taking over our streams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the streams are supposed to stay to capacity. That's
mm-hmm.
what helps keep our groundwater recharged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what helps keep disease out of our backyards. You know, it constantly is flushing out the mosquitoes and things, you know, all these bacteria that, you know, are causing. But, you know, as far as invasive species, here we have a government, you know, a department bringing in another kind of wasp,
right.
that they have no idea what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carol, you and I, if you was to go to a foreign land,
mm-hmm.
tell me you're not going to, are you going to take your food from your house with you when you go?
Not normally.
Yeah, normally you're going to try what they got. Well, they're going to bring in a wasp to try and slow down the process of a guava plant
mm-hmm.
that was brought here.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that wasp is going to eat just that guava plant?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you he's going to go out and try the buffet out there
mm-hmm.
because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's come down to. We've lost willy-willy trees.
Right.
I mean, you know, constantly we're dealing with invasive species. And instead of them stepping back and saying, okay, you know what, we got to find a better way, a better solution to get rid of this problem that we created, because
mm-hmm.
man is an invasive species.
Right.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, this is all related to what we're talking about, big brother, big business. Because you take, for example, I'm happy you raise those issues, and they're directly related, and they speak specifically to the manner in which our government is failing us in enforcing and regulating. You take, for example, the frogs.
Right.
The Kochi frog. Now, you're talking about fruit flies, and I'm with you on that and
apple
have concerns.
Snails.
Apple snails. But the Department of Agriculture, for example, know that they could have control the spread of Cokie long time ago.
Right.
But instead, they didn't want to create a list. They had a list that they knew the nurseries existed that had contaminated soils with the frog. But instead, that would have enabled other buyers, other nurseries, to avoid that nursery or take some specific actions to eradicate or whatever, or control that. But they didn't. They stood back and, in fact, told me, well, we don't put that list together and we don't want anybody to know that because it would blackball the bigger businesses.
Right. So that's our problem here.
So anyway, hold that thought. We're going to take a little break and send you out here with a, it's all about the earth and it's all about our responsibility. So here's to you folk out there. Thank you for joining us, and Kim, thank you so much, and thanks to the listeners out there.
Mahalo, Carol.
You have anything you'd like to leave us with?
Yes, I do. You know, Carol, it's not about, we all are concerned here, and we're not just complaining. Thing is, we have the ability to share ideas and to make solutions for our future, and our people and our community need to speak up, come forward. Come to Carol Cox, you know, come to his show, make the effort, make the difference. That's all I want to say, and aloha.
Well, thank you so much, Kim. And if you like to listen to this, you can also go to carolcox.com and get a podcast or download or listen it straight, and we will be streamlining it in the near future. And I'm going to bring in the Hawaii Bulletin Board with Calvin Griffin. And thank all of you all for listening. And if you have any questions, concerns, or would like to share or like to complain about my opinions or expressions, feel free and talk with me. Thank you.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.